Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall is celebrating their 80th anniversary the only way they know how, with huge savings. Shop over 800 of your favorite Chevys, Buicks, GMCs, and Cadillacs and see why bigger selection means more ways to save. Four iconic brands under three rooftops with over 22 acres of GM inventory. Plus, every new vehicle comes with Edmore's mobile service, top-tier service, at your door, on your time. Don't miss the 80th anniversary sale at Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com, where you're always backed by Morse.
All right, welcome back to the newest edition of Out to Pasture. Joe Rose is literally out to pasture. He's up in Wyoming. I'm not sure. I just don't see Joe up there with a bearskin cap, you know, with that tail hanging down and wandering around the woods of Wyoming and whatever he's doing up there, sleeping in a teepee or whatever. But somehow I don't see that being a Joe vacation.
You know that pick the top five states: Montana, Wyoming, maybe Maine,
Idaho.
That you wouldn't expect North Dakota. You wouldn't expect Joe to go to.
No.
There must be a 5-star resort he found up there that he wants to get explored.
Yeah, I don't see. But look, I spoke to him a couple of days ago, and seems like he's having a good time up there. And so the great Dave Hyde joining us now for filling in for Joe Rose. And you know, last time you filled in, Dave, we got big numbers. Maybe I should ditch Joe or maybe it's just you that brings in the big numbers.
The pressure's on now. The pressure's on. We better have a good show. Let's go. Let's go.
Look, we all know, Sun Sentinel, you've parted ways. So since that time, I know there's been a lot of people that have wished you well, and we certainly do. So what is Dave Hyde doing now? What's your next program or process that you're going to go through at this point?
Yeah, I feel like, I'm better now because in the sports world, I got cut, from a team. You know, I was a salary cap victim. So now I understand sports better. But right now I'm going to write on Substack. So you can find me there.
Whoa.
What is Substack?
It's hard enough for me to get on this podcast. What's a Substack?
Yeah, so Substack is an app that a lot of writers and I only know writers really, but a lot of other various politicians, musicians are on it too, and you can write columns and post columns and then people can follow you. And so that's where I'm at. If you want to look for my columns there, Substack, I call it the Hyde Side, we're going to go from there. So it'll be, next chapter, that'll be part of the next chapter.
So it's kind of a free agent thing and you're just putting out it for everybody so let's look back from the time I first met you, when you were working for the newspaper and I'm with the Dolphins and you're in that box, right? And I'm in that box. Now I got out of the box a little bit before you and had to find out something to do out of that box. So this is the space for you to go ahead and just kind of be your own, whatever you want to do, whether you want to talk about people, whether you want to talk about sports, whatever comes to your mind, you have the opportunity to put that out there in the Substack.
And it's fascinating. I think 10 years, 15 years ago, these options weren't there. If certainly when I started in the business, newspapers were the medium for people to get information. And now, part of the, certainly the main reason for the downfall of newspapers is there's so many other venues to get information instantaneously.
Yeah.
And so now I've joined the dark side, and I'm going to have some fun with it.
And so I knew you took some time, went down the Keys and like you do and all the time. And so, what I realized when I first got out, I told my wife at the time, I said, look, I'm going to take a year and I'm just going to play golf every day. And I did it for probably like 2 months. And I realized that, I'm getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning, going to the golf course, playing golf, staying out, having a couple beers, coming back at 6 o'clock, doing it again the next day. And after about a month or so, I said, I can't do this. First of all, I'm going to be an alcoholic, and I'm not doing anything. I'm not shaving. I'm barely showering and going out there. So I had to find something out to do. But your passion, like for leisure time is fishing, but you can't fish every day.
No, I can't. I it's interesting as you get older, certainly as I hit my 60s, I turn 65 next month.
Yeah.
You start thinking of retirement and you're talking to people and friends, stories like yours. Half the people love retirement. It's the greatest thing. It's liberating and they're free. Yeah. The other half are antsy and edgy and looking for something to do. And so, to be honest, that's why I didn't want to retire from the newspaper. It wasn't, I liked the job and all that, but I'm a little concerned of what's on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
And so stories like yours, I'd hear and I go, God, am I going to be like that? I don't know.
Is that good or bad? Is it going to be, oh shit, is that what I'm going to be? Or is it, oh yeah, I get to be that.
Yeah, right. When you're in your 40s and 50s, retirement would seem, it looks like a hall pass, right? Where, I get every day Saturday.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't want every day to be Saturday.
It's funny. So for me, my retirement was I was 32 years old.
Right.
I retired, and I remember people telling me, what are you gonna do? And I go, well, I remember Steve Shapiro when it was on was a sportscaster for Fox Sports down here. Well, I don't think it was Fox then, Channel 7 locally, and so when I started dipping into getting into the broadcast side of it, he goes, well, what are you doing in here? I got fired from a football team. I said, when you get fired from a football team, there's no other football teams that you can go to, right? You got to find something completely different.
Were you ready for your football career to end?
I was part of me was disappointed, but part of me was relieved because at that point in my life, Dave, it'd been my 10th year. I had problems with my feet, so I couldn't plant and do the, and cut the way I needed to. And so I knew I had 1 year left on my contract, but I was begging just to get that year's contract. I tried to talk Coach Shuley into keeping me on just as a third down pass rusher. And he would have none of that because he knew I was just trying to hang on for a contract. But I was ready. I was ready from a physical standpoint. I was ready to get out. From a mental standpoint, I don't think it was because actually I kept working out. And the next year I had some thoughts about maybe going back and trying again. But those got dashed pretty quickly. So anyway, let's move on to something else. So over the last few weeks, couple weeks, the big story after mini camps and OTAs were all over and everyone went, it was the Brandon Sorsby, who's this quarterback. And, he's going to go into the supplemental draft. And, last week we talked with Joe about it and he gave me a tutorial on what the supplemental draft was all about. And, you do this and these guys do that. Then you get this many ping pong balls or however they're doing it. And I didn't understand it all. So fortunately now the NFL has come out and say, well, there's not going to be a supplemental draft. So one thing, so that takes it off everybody else's. And I'm sure all the general managers are scrambling around, seeing what they wanted to do, figuring what their deal was. So now they can take a little time off from that. But so my question to you is, first of all, that whole carnival that went on, and then what does this kid do now?
Well, second part first, the kid gets his life straightened out, right?
Yeah.
He's got the whole next 10 months before the draft to show everybody, okay, I had a problem. I've straightened it out. And now I want someone to take a chance on me. So I thought the NFL handled the, let's look at a couple major issues in two leagues. And start with the NBA. The NBA had problem with tanking.
Yeah.
A third of the league was tanking because Silver didn't get in front of the problem. He didn't come up with a solution until the season was over with. He he's paid his millions to get in front of these problems so they don't become problems. They should have put the remedy for tanking that they have now, you know, a year ago when they realized something. So move to the NFL, which is just the best run league, and Roger Goodell. I was on somebody's podcast. I said, why don't the league just say he's not eligible? You know, we're not going to have a supplemental draft. He's the only guy there. And that Roger Goodell just said, you know, we're going to sidestep all this, saying we're not going to have a supplemental draft. And then no one has to make a decision on that's getting in front of the problem, you know, before it's a major issue. So I thought that was handled well.
But I think locally, you're right. The guy's he's a known gambler. I mean, in a big way. And to me, I mean, when we were talking about it last week, well, where would you put him? Certainly don't want to have him end up in Las Vegas and probably no better here where there's gambling everywhere around the corner. And having to deal with that kind of stuff. But now he's you hope he goes and tries to find a way out of that, because you know that's as much as being an alcoholic, gambling may be the number two most difficult thing to get out of if you've got that bug in your ear.
Yeah, and as opposed to alcoholism, gambling has a direct cancer on the sport. You know, I mean, that infects the whole sport if you're gambling, and as opposed to alcoholism, it's yourself and your family and all that. So the other thing, would the Dolphins have been interested in him? And I just don't think they're at a place to take on somebody like that. And unless they're in the culture building first year. Let's get our system up and running. And so when I heard people talking about, well, the Dolphins, you know, they got to find a quarterback, make sure they got one. So why not take it? I was like, not him. No.
Yeah. A couple of things with that. I mean, first of all, the issues that he's got, his own demons that he's dealing with. But you know, you picked up Malik Willis, and you've kind of been nurturing him to be the guy, and then all of a sudden this guy comes in and. You know, and from all intents and purposes, he seems like he's a pretty good football player, pretty good quarterback, big arm, and can do all this stuff. And now you muddy those waters, and I just don't think that would have been a fit.
I wouldn't have sidestepped him for that reason. I would have, if they thought he was a good player and he was available, I would take him, because at the very least. You develop them and trade them, you know, sort of the Jimmy Johnson motto where he took Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh. And I would have done if he was good enough. You know, you heard mixed reviews on, third round, fourth round pick or a first round pick. And so I never got a handle on just how good he was.
Hey, so speaking of the Dolphins, we're here in the downtime, and, you know, everyone's all the players on vacation. I understand there's a number of the rookies that are staying around and working out, which is what they which is what they should do, and I think part of that may be the way that I think that Jeff Hafley is running this team and trying to get, I hate to use the term culture, we got good culture, but I think running a football team the way it should be, and so I think it's good if those guys are around working out because they need to, but so along with that and looking forward as we've seen, and we haven't seen, we've seen mini camps and OTAs and guys running around and really no contact and talking, getting newspapers saying, the guy threw three interceptions today, this and that, and they're not even playing football right now. But the stage that Jeff Hafley and Sully have put together for this football team at this point going into training camp, what are your thoughts on what it's going to be like or what you imagine this team is going to look like? Again, everybody knows the talent level is not there, but they've got a lot of young people that could be developed, and you've seen that happen a couple of times. But give me your synopsis of where you think the Dolphins are right now.
About a month away. I like the plan. I like this plan. They took the big salary cap hit this year, going to be clean off the budget. you know, they're getting 60 cents on the dollar right now. They're in trouble, obviously, when they took, I think it's $180 million in dead cap money. But start there. Start with the fact that they went out and got the best GM they could get and allowed him to pick his coach. And all. I mean, these are fundamental issues that look obvious, but the Dolphins haven't done it this way in years and years. And now you got John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley. They sound like football people who are articulating a good plan. Now, can they make it work? Can they get the right players? Can they they're both first time in their job. How much learning are they going to do and mistakes are they going to make? Because that's going to happen. So can they keep it pointed in the right direction? The first and second year, but I like the plan. The plan is simple. We're going to get all the money off the books. We're going to get a lot of young and hungry people in the first year. We'll look at where we are, including the quarterback. And then we'll look at where we are the second year when we're going to have money to spend. And that's when, you know, it could be a real quick turnaround if things work out for them.
Yeah. You know what look, there's been times I've seen this happen. I mean, certainly in the era that I came in, the Dolphins made a pretty quick turnaround after the 72 guys all got moving out and retiring and everything and had a one or two rough years, but then bounced back pretty quickly with just what these guys have the opportunity to, not with free agents because there was enough no free agency there, but good drafts, drafting good people and putting that, and certainly the discipline that you have in this football team. So I think there's a path for them to be better next year, significantly better next year than this coming year, and then the opportunity maybe in that third year if everything goes right and they make the right moves and some of those guys, and I think there's going to be a lot of guys, these young guys, they got like 40 some odd people on 1 year contracts, and a lot of rookies in there, and I think there's going to be an opportunity that I saw going through that period of time when I first came in, where you saw guys that were, that would become like 5 year core special teams guys, that were either free agents or draft choices that it's still 1/3 of the game are the special teams, and you get those guys, and then every now and then you pop up with Jim Jensen or Mike Kozlowski or some guys that came in that really weren't expected to be core players and became core players. I think that opportunity is there, especially to look and go and listening to some of these players that they've brought in. I like the caliber of the guys that I've seen that they've brought in from a lot of different ways.
Well, I think they're doing it the right way. Go get young 1 year guys. Some of them are trying to kickstart their careers after being a good draft pick and it didn't work out. Some of them just are getting an opportunity. I like this way rather than, getting a handful of older guys and trying to patch things for a season. This is the biggest rebuild they've done since I've been here.
They rebuilt
the front office, scouts, obviously the executives, they rebuilt the coaching staff and the roster. So this is the first time they've done it. The triple crown of rebuilds, but again, I'm a fan of what they're doing, but they got to make it work.
Yeah. So now that we've got them going, we're starting to see Pat Riley, the Heat, go out and get Giannis, big piece of the puzzle. They gave up a lot. But we've seen Pat and Andy Ellisberg and those guys doing it, and they did a good job getting Giannis to come here, and a big time talent. What does that do for their franchise? And then on the heels of that, you look at the Panthers as they're coming around. Now they're going to they've had an opportunity to get this offseason. They're having an opportunity to get healthy from those previous 3 years where they played more games on the ice than I think anybody in the league. They got to get healthy, and they bring in another Brady Kachuk into the organization. And it looks like there's some light at the end of the tunnel for all three of these organizations. I can't reach out to the Marlins, but they're doing all right. But I mean,
hey, the Marlins are I think 3 games over .500, yeah, and with the lowest payroll in baseball, and they got you know, the best middle. So right now, it's all happening in South Florida. You know, the Riley's way has always been go out, get a whale, get one of the top players in the league, no matter what it costs, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out after that. And, and that's what he did here with Giannis. They put a big platter of average and sent it to Milwaukee. They said to Milwaukee, take whatever you want off our roster, basically. You know, take 4 players off our roster. We'll send you a few draft picks. So that it was an basically 7 first-round draft picks when you add up the players for Giannis. And you do that every time because you got the best player, and now you have a chance. They were a pile of mediocrity play-in team, you know, and they had to do this. They're desperate to do this, and they got it done. Now they have Bam Adebayo and Giannis to build around, and we'll see where it goes. They got to, you know, they're not going to have a lot of money, but and they got to make some good decisions, more good decisions.
Yeah.
But the Panthers to me are the right now, they're, you know, Bill Zito, their general manager, he's got the Midas touch. Everything he does since that franchise was a disaster for decades when he walked in the door in late in 2020, and right from that moment it turned around. You know, he started making smart moves, great trades, and the track record, what they've done speaks for two Stanley Cup championships, and now, you know, getting Brady Tkachuk was just stunning to me that they pulled that off.
Yeah, that was I didn't see that one coming, but you know, I mean, in a perfect fit into a perfect team of guys that they've put together, they've melded together over the last couple of years, that are just the guys that you want to be. These guys all want to be around each other. They've got the same kind of attitudes, and I'm excited to see what this is. And look, you got, again, the Heat, you know, you got stars to watch now. You've got 2 big stars that can be a cornerstone, and it's going to be interesting.
The one thing about the Panthers, right, they don't have a goalie signed.
Right.
Going into the offseason, Bobrovsky wanted big money. Yeah. There's a big gulf between what the Panthers were offering and what Bobrovsky wanted. I don't know where it stands right now, but the fact that he isn't signed, you know.
That's a big hole to fill. But so we'll see. I mean, look, I'm going to put my faith in, I'm going to put my faith in the GM and let him. One more thing before we start moving on here. Mike Westhoff, right? Mike Westhoff going to the Hall of Fame. We've known Mike a long time, and you know, the people that don't know, one of the real characters in the National Football League, greatest special teams coach of all time. His words, not mine. But
he'll tell you. No, and no, I'm not denying it. He might be right.
I'll tell you what, he's got a lot to back up. But what a colorful life he's gone through. I mean, from his you know, his health down here, moving around. And I think everywhere he went, he thought he should have been the head coach, you know. And so, but it's good. He's going in on a Hall of Fame Award of Excellence. And you know, congratulations to him. I've always liked him. He's a colorful guy. And one of these, you know, you've been around the NFL, you know, as long as I have or longer than I have. And there's a lot of characters. And Mike Westhoff, unbeknownst to a lot of people maybe out there, was one of those characters that – it was always interesting. Always liked to see him, and always felt pretty good about himself.
Yeah, he is a full personality, and I wrote a column in Substack, since we were talking about it, on him yesterday, and an update with a story about Mike Westhoff said Joe Rose sent him on the way to the Hall. And I said, well, what are you talking about? and he said, well, my first year with the Dolphins, Shula came to me and said, what do you think about Joe on the kickoffs? Yeah. And he goes, well, we can do better than that. and Shula said, well, you know, Joe's got the trust of Marino. This is when training camp, when they're making cut decisions. Joe's got the trust of Marino. He catches everything that comes in his way.
Yeah.
We trust, you know, the offense, you know, is a big component, third down on the offense.
Yeah.
And Westile thinks, okay. So what he did was he put Joe on kickoff and he, as his decoy, you know, he'd look where the other team was double team, you know,
right.
Which guy are they double teaming?
And
he put Joe there, and then his stars could go run free and make the tackle. So he goes, and I tell Joe, he sent me on my way to Canton.
as he started developing, he started using his mind in developing how to configure people. But that's funny. I don't even remember Joe running down on. I can't imagine Joe running down on kickoffs. That's very anti Joe Rose.
Yeah, I know. I can't. That's right when I was arriving in South Florida. What I do remember a Westhoff story, because I was out at camp in those days and I didn't understand what was going on because Bernie Parmalee got cut one day.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't officially announced or anything, but whispers around he's getting cut. And, the next day he shows up to practice and I didn't know this happened, but Westhoff said this, he told Bernie show up the next day to practice and he put in a live punt format and Bernie went down and just blasted the guy, you know, because Westhoff said your career's on the line. And Shula saw that and he goes, well, let's put him on the practice squad. But he turned to Westhoff and said, if you ever do that again, but that's how Bernie Parmalee, thanks to Mike Westhoff, had a, you know, 10-year career. Yeah. Now he's a coach. Yeah. In the league.
Well, then look, that's one of the reasons too, that I think he was a guy that at times got under the skin of their head coach or whatever head coach he had, because he always thought I don't think he thought that he was going to be better than Don Shula. But I think when he was at the Jets and wherever else he traipsed around to in that career. And look, I can't argue. He might have been right. You know, if he got an opportunity, you don't know what happened. But one of the colorful characters.
He sat with Wayne Huizenga. He met with Wayne Huizenga when Jimmy Johnson left the Dolphins and said, make me the head coach. I'll bring in this guy from Indianapolis. We'll keep Dan Marino. And put in the Peyton Manning shotgun offense so he doesn't have to mobile. You know, remember they were running the pro style with Jimmy.
Yep.
I would have loved to hear that him state his case. That would have been tremendous to hear. That direction. But to your point, Mike always thought he could be the head coach too.
Yeah. But look, and I know he annoyed a lot of the coaches that he had, but they were very hesitant to get rid of him because he really was. You know, I mean, he created he was a very special team. It was like when I came in as a rookie, in my first 3 or 4 years, we didn't have a designated special teams coach. Carl Tassif was, you know, the running back coach was, but I think, you know, they started to create that special teams guy. They finally realized that it's a third of the game. You might as well get somebody and get serious on it. But he was one of the pioneers of really being creative, where special teams could not only be something that kept you in the game, but made an impact and helped you win football games.
He had a play called Gatorade. Because this is a different era of football. Yeah. Special teams weren't buttoned down and handcuffed for health, for obvious reasons, like they are today. They could do anything. And they could block a guy fully out of bounds. And their play called Gatorade on kickoffs. Lewis Oliver and Kerry Glenn would double team a guy with the idea of running him into the opposing through the opposing sideline to the Gatorade table and throw him over the Gatorade table.
That sounds I can see that. That was it. Once those guys got you out on the sideline, you could do anything with them. You know, that one time you you'd get the guy and he'd have to run through the bench because he's, you know, they're, you know, guys are trying to trip him on the sideline. And yeah, so it's anyway. Hey, what's first and foremost now for you to get to where you want to head?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to build up these columns on Substack, and I'm, you know, there's a couple.
So tell projects. Us how you get in there into your Substack.
Yeah, again. You have to get the Substack app on your phone or computer, or I'm sure you can just Google Substack and Dave Hyde, and it'll take you to it. You know, this is my first week of doing it, Kim. So I'm sitting here playing with the buttons myself, trying to figure out how to set everything up.
But I imagine you're going to be, your majority of stuff would be sports. Are you going to like venture out into other interests of yours that you want to
delve
into?
I was thinking about this. You know, I like the outdoors. I like the Keys, backwoods in the backcountry fishing. I like diving, and so I'll do some of that too.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to see. You know, some of it will depend on, you know, what sells. You know, what are what do people want to read? You know, but I'll have a lot more. Well, let's face it, I had liberty to do anything I wanted at Sun Sentinel for years and years, and so. But now probably even a little more liberty. All I really am looking at is myself. What do I want to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Hey, you know, if things go wrong, you can always get a job at Sawgrass Auto Mall, and more Sawgrass Auto Mall, you know,
out there.
Big sponsors, our big sponsor would be great for us. And, like all our out to pasture fans out there, if you're looking for a car, Sawgrass Auto Mall, Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, they've got everything. They've got GMC, they got Cadillac, they got Chevrolet, they got Buick, anything you want. I'm a Cadillac guy. They've been taking care of me for a long time. Service, sales, they're the best anywhere in South Florida. If you're anywhere down from West Palm Beach down, I would, and you're looking for any of those kind of vehicles, I would make a beeline down there. And if you're a little hungry, you got to go to Villa Italia Bakery up in Schenectady, New York. You don't need to drive up there, because Bobby will just send it down to you. VillaItaliaBakery.com. He sends his coffee cakes, cookies, every kind of pastry you got. It's fantastic. All of them are fantastic. He'll send it to you all over the country. Comes over, then it comes back to you the next day, and it's fresh and awesome. And look, if you put in the code BOJO, you get 20% off all your orders from Villa Italia Bakery. And he'll send you, I used to have it, I got a big, you put it on your car. It's an applique, and it's the Miami Dolphins undefeated ring, the face of the ring with the 16 diamonds around it and the big diamond in the middle. They're not going to be diamonds out there. It's probably going to be a little cut glass, but it looks really nice. You put it on your car, put it on your door, whatever. And he'll drop one of those in too. I think he's got a limited time now, but again, VillaItaliaBakery.com. Put in the code BOJO and you'll get some extra stuff and 20% off. So take care of that and take care of our sponsors. And Dave, thanks for joining us, man. And look, you're always welcome to come on, and we'll be bugging you and getting you on some more. And just appreciate having you.
Great.
And look, we've been friends for a long time, and I know you're going to do great things in your second phase here. And just wish you all the best of luck in the world.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. It's everything is going to. I'm thinking, always sell, always be selling. There's my Still Perfect book on the 70. You reminded me with the rings from the Schenectady, New York. The Still Perfect book about the 72 Dolphins.
But, that's right. But, you know, you got to. You know, you've. I tell people my motto is ABS. Always be selling.
Well, then you appreciate my little detour there.
I do, absolutely.
Thanks, Kim. It was great being here. All right. And we'll talk for sure.
I appreciate it.